Good morning to you. It's a pleasure to come. We join the faithful around the world who gather to hear the word of God. We gather around the bread and the wine and the sacred desk, and these pieces become holy things in the presence of a holy God. And the Lord is here, and the Lord is ready to meet us in abundance. So our sermon series is available, and we are in Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel. And as we enter into Scripture, we're seeing the story of the last two of the judges, Eli and Samuel, and they are of the people Israel. This is right before they transition into the kings. And Samuel is born out of some extraordinary circumstances. There is a heartbroken, barren woman named Hannah who pours out her heart in prayer before the Lord that she would have a child. The Lord hears her, and he grants her her request. And it reads that the Lord remembered her, and Samuel was born. In fact, her rejoicing is so great that she is the first in Scripture to name that sacred name of Jesus, the Messiah, and in Greek, Jesus Christ. And so, in reverence for the Word of God, if you're able, please stand, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm reading from the NRSV this morning. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at the time as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And at that time the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of God been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that it was the Lord calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak. Your servant is listening." And the Lord spoke to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me regarding the words he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what is good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God, we pray for your word this morning. It is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, would that which is of your Spirit this morning fall on the fertile hearts of our minds and hearts, and that which is of me would fade away. Amen. So how do we become available to God? We listen and obey. Would you know the voice of the Lord if he came near to you and stood close and spoke your name? I think about this passage. Was the Lord, you know, by the door jamb? Did he have his hand near Samuel? Was he looking him right in the eye? Would you know the voice of the Lord if he stood near and called your name? Samuel didn't. Samuel was a kid, maybe 12 years old or so, and he lived in the temple. He ministered under Eli, and he served the Lord. He was a good kid. He was quick, obedient, eager to serve, and yet he didn't know the Lord. The word had not yet been revealed to him, but he heard the voice. He heard clearly, distinctly, directly. I'm so encouraged by the Lord's role in this passage. Do you see what the Lord does? The Lord draws near. The Lord is patient and gentle. He repeatedly calls. He patiently waits for Samuel to run around and figure out what's going on. And then he calls to him again, and he speaks to him gently, and he knows his name. I see here that there is no age discrimination with the Lord, right? Samuel's a kid, and he hears from the Lord. It reminds me of that prophet Joel who spoke, and he said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit. Young and old, male, female, slave, free, Christ follower, or far from Christ, God can speak to you. But there is a difference between hearing and understanding, between listening and comprehending. Samuel heard, but he didn't understand, so he went to the closest source of direction, right? He went to Eli. Eli is this priest, an old man of God. He had been ministering to the people. In fact, he was the one that ministered to Samuel's mother. And now he was seeing the fruit of that prayer. And Samuel needed Eli to coach him in discerning the voice of God. We need mentors, do we not? We need mentors. And to all of our elders, don't retire yet. We need you to coach us in hearing the voice of the Lord. And Eli was powerful because he allowed his word to shape Samuel's expectations. He said it's with reverence that you hear from the Lord. It's a privilege to hear from the Lord. Remember, he said, if the Lord chooses to speak, he was modeling not to be presumptuous in responding to God. And Eli also, in teaching him how to hear, he modeled how to respond. At the very end, when Samuel gives this hard word to Eli, what did he say? He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. I submit to the word of the Lord. So as much as we appreciate Eli and his role in this, we also know he's not to be put on a pedestal. His sons, in chapter 2, we will read, they were worthless men without regard for the Lord, and he would be held accountable for that. But nevertheless, Eli's instruction was sound. He said, when God speaks, respond with an open posture. And that famous phrase, speak, for your servant is listening. Church, do we hear or are we listening? Do we hear? Are we really listening? Something troubling to me is that right here it says that Samuel ministered to the Lord. He served in the house of God. He slept near the ark, and yet he did not know the Lord. We can be pretty busy doing good things without hearing from the Lord. So let's not be confusing proximity to God with intimacy with God. Let's not be confusing service for the Lord with relationship with God. And let's not be substituting ministry and good work for hearing from the source. So when was the last time you heard and identified and listened to the voice of God? You know, it's a sermon for another day on all the ways that we hear God's voice, but it's clear here. The Lord speaks to us directly, and we have His Holy Spirit. And in verse 21, we see that the Lord appeared to Samuel also through the word of the Lord repeatedly. Samuel sustained himself in the word. One of my favorite passages is in Deuteronomy. I love it. You get some rock star preaching from Moses in Deuteronomy 30, and he's calling out for the people. In verse 9, he says this: "For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and his statutes, which are written in this book of law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul, for this commandment which I command you, it's not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It's not in heaven so that you would say, 'Who will go up to heaven and get it for us and make us hear that we can observe it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us and get it and make us hear it so that we can observe it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it." The word is near to us. How comforting. It is not so far and high and wide that it's impossible. The word of God is near to us. In the last 3 years or so of my life, I was feeling that it was difficult to hear the voice of the Lord in my life. You know, what was working in my 20s wasn't working in my 30s. And I'll say, what's working in your 30s probably ain't going to work for you in your 40s, right? So all my life, I have this value for the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word in a year. Check off every box. Power through Leviticus, you know? And I was in Bible study and Bible discussion and Bible memory, but I was, "Lord, I need your word to speak. It's struggling." And a friend challenged me to switch up my spiritual disciplines and to try Lectio Divina. And so I read Ruth Haley Barton's book. It's called Sacred Rhythms. And she emphasizes entirely as she described the pattern of reading for information and offered the solution of also reading for transformation. So I said, okay, I'm going to try this. And you just sit with like 6 verses in a passage, just soaking in the scripture. And Barton writes, "In this listening stance, scripture becomes an instrument of God's control rather than a tool we control to our own ends. Then as God speaks to us through scripture, we respond to what we read with our heart and soul rather than just our intellect." This has been a key turning point for me in the last few months as Lectio Divina has reawakened me to hear God's voice. So before we speak, we need to be listening. I love in Deuteronomy that it's not just about listening. No. Did you catch in those short verses, verse 12, 13, and 14, does it say that it's just for us to hear? No, it's for us to hear it so that we may observe it. Hear it so that we may observe it. Hear it that we may observe it. We got to listen and obey. This is how we make ourselves available to God. Samuel had a choice in this passage. was he going to be obedient to share and act on the word that the Lord had given him. And that was a tough word. Did you guys happen to catch how tough that word might be for Samuel to deliver to Eli? And we read in chapter 2 all about Eli's household. His sons were greedy, disobedient to the law. They laid with the women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. In fact, it says the Lord desired to put them to death. Okay, this is not an easy message. This was a painful message. But regardless, Samuel was obedient to act on the word he was given. I'm not a parent, so I don't know all that's going on for Eli here, but I'm pretty sure this grieved his heart. And it does seem that he is being held accountable for his parenting. So to all of you mothers picking up Cheerios and smashed bananas, and for every father who is changing diapers and talking with your children, know that you are doing important kingdom work. You are raising up the next generation of leaders, and your parenting matters. It does. But even beyond parenting, this was a mockery of God. This was an assault on his holy temple. It was an act of vandalism to his justice, his name, his character. This would not be tolerated because our God is holy. And there is a time for God's messages of grace and of love, but there is a time for his messages of judgment and justice. So Samuel was obedient to deliver this message of judgment. Do we obey after God speaks to us? I love Samuel's response. His response is so powerful. Here I am. Here I am. Five times in this chapter. Here I am. Samuel is joining an impressive group of our heroes of the faith when he says, here I am. Abraham. Do you know who else said, here I am? Abraham. He was being tested by God to take his only son and offer it as a sacrifice. And he said, here I am, Lord. Jacob was called to leave his land and go to Egypt. And Jacob submitted, saying, here I am, Lord. And Moses was in the wilderness and that burning bush being called to go back to Egypt and deliver his people. And he said, here I am. And Isaiah, surrounded by a vision of the seraphim and the throne of God as he was confessing his sins, he said, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. Our heroes remind us to assume a posture of readiness, of action, of sacrifice, of follow through. And I think that most of the time we have good intentions, right? Good intentions to hear and follow through. But the hard truth is, sometimes I think we want to hear more than we want to obey. We just want to hear from the Lord. But are we willing to obey what he tells us? Do you keep asking for God to speak to you, but you haven't acted on the last thing that he spoke to you? I've been wrestling with this image this week, church, because I just feel like I don't want us to be a church that says, speak, Lord, we're listening. Speak, Lord, we're listening. But we're just sitting there wanting to receive and not go and do. When we think of these words from the Lord, this is the image that came to mind. We don't want to be manna gluttons. God, just feed me more and more words without going and doing. Listening without action is just like being gluttonous. Listening without the exercise of obedience. And I know, Lord God, help me not to just be a manna glutton. Lord, move me to action. Perhaps we need to repent of this ourselves today. And so we're inspired to repent and to obey when we look at this life of little Samuel. But I've also been inspired so much this month by the voices of my brothers and sisters. Like Pastor said, I was at a conference in Jakarta for 15 days, and I was most impacted by the diverse body of Christ, all leaders under the age of 35, and they were giving firsthand accounts of serving God in other countries. Every day I'd sit next to someone or I'd be in line with someone, and I would say, "What's your name? What country are you from? What is God doing in your area?" And so I just listened to how folks were serving the Lord. And Naeem sat with me on the bus on the second day, and his story just struck a chord with me. I knew I had to share it with you. I was so grateful for his faithfulness to God, and so I'm going to read his story. This is Naeem up on the screen. "My grandparents were converted from Sikhism, and I was raised in the Roman Catholic involvement." And he is in Pakistan. "When I was 17, I was reading Isaiah chapter 53, and the Lord touched my heart, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. After baptizing, God gave me a vision to evangelize to Muslims, and I shared this with my pastor, my vision to evangelize in the marketplace, but he was uncertain of the call. Afterwards, I went and preached the gospel. And later, my pastor told me, 'Now I realize that God gave you that vision because he gave you a brave heart.' So then I got Bibles and I went to the streets for distribution, preaching about Jesus Christ, the only one who can save us from our sins. These days I was praying, 'God, please give me a symbol or a sign that this is my ministry, because I feel the pressure of the threats.' Then God gave me the opportunity to go to the Kashmir region, where no one has evangelized before. This region has a strict Islamic environment, but I began to evangelize openly among the Muslims in that region. I used to go to the roads and the streets, and I would show the Bible and the New Testament and other Christian books. Many times I faced Muslim extremist views and suffered attacks from the people I spoke with. But one day I went to a city that is in the heart of the Muslim extremists. I was evangelizing in a market when suddenly a group of Muslim monks or priests, they appeared and they caught me. They took me to the backside of the market and started torturing me bitterly. I was very near to death. And then a man appeared and asked them, 'Why are you beating him?' They replied, 'He is a Christian and was evangelizing in our area.' And he told them to leave me and suggested wisely that we come to an agreement on paper that I would never again return to this area. They agreed and stopped beating me. On that day, there was a man who came from another village to buy something from the market, and he heard about the incident that took place. He took that book, The Miracles of Jesus, from the shopkeeper and returned to his village. He read that book and was impressed by the miracles of Jesus. And one day he saw a dream. He saw Jesus Christ, who was asking him to follow him. And Amir's life was changed, and he embraced Jesus Christ. And some months later, I received a letter from Amir because he sent it to the address on that book. In his letter, he told me, 'My name is Amir, and I belong to a rural area of Muslim family of monks. And I read the book about Jesus, and I saw him in a dream, and I want to be baptized.' And he came, and he was baptized, and he went back to his village, and he started evangelizing and preaching. And God worked miraculously through him. And the people of the village were amazed by the change of his personality, and his prayers healed some. Then the Muslim monks became his enemy. They have been torturing him in different ways to this day. But he is faithful and firmly connected to the work. He evangelized a man who accepted Jesus with his whole family. They evangelized other people, and in this way, they have become the first indigenous church of Azad Kashmir. And now there are a number of churches in Kashmir growing to this day." Amen. He ends, "Pray for me. I'm doing God's mission with grace. My vision is to reach every home through Bible distribution. Pray for our team's protection. Pray for Bibles. Pray for a book then. Pastor Naeem." Naeem listened to the voice of God, and he quickly responded, "Here I am." And his listening and obedience begat listening and obedience for the glory of God. So in conclusion, friends, as we learn how to be available through the life of Samuel, let us remember that every person here, young and old, need to be listening to his word. The Lord is near. Let us not be manna gluttons, but take that which we have heard from the Lord and be quickly obedient. This is a Great Commission church. This church believes that the power of the gospel transforms our lives, do we not? We believe that the power of God is the power to heal and to bring hope and redemption and freedom and justice and salvation. Amen. So we have the privilege, like Naeem, to carry this message into our hurting world every day. And especially the hard messages that confront injustice and evil. So will you join me today in renewing our commitment to say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." Amen. God, may we echo Jeremiah in our hearts, who declared, "His word is like fire in my bones, a fire that I am weary of holding in. Indeed, I cannot." Oh God, let us hear you and obey and be part of your glorious mission in our world today. In the name of Christ and for your glory, amen.